You just can't beat an 80s television series. Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose, and today I want to find the answer to a question I've always pondered when assessing a patient with a sore throat. Growing up, I was a big fan of the works of TV producer and writer Glenn Larson. He was involved in such classics as Magnum P.I., Battlestar Galactica, Buck Rogers, The Fall Guy, and my personal favourite, Knight Rider. Wonderful, escapist, over-the-top 80s classics. And this theme continued in another popular show of his, that of Quincy, Medical Examiner. This depiction of the life of a medical examiner was many light years away from realistic, but it was always entertaining watching Jack Klugman as the eponymous Dr. Quincy racing around solving crimes and saving lives. So when I first learned of the condition peritonsillar abscess, it amused me to hear that it was also called a Quincy. Despite having a different spelling, in my mind, I've always thought of Jack Klugman's overacting whenever I refer to the term Quincy, but have never actually considered why we call it that. But I was pretty sure that the TV show had nothing to do with it. So a peritonsillar abscess is something we need to be acutely aware of in urgent care. A progression of a sore throat to localise to one side, with difficulty swallowing, trismus, lymphadenopathy and fever should all lead you to suspect one, even before looking. Peritonsillar swelling and erythema with uvular displacement seals the deal, and the diagnosis is very much a clinical one. Patients may also have unilateral otalgia, bad breath, and talk with a muffled voice as if they have a hot potato in their mouth. Progression of a peritonsillar abscess can lead to airway obstruction and deep tissue neck infections, and aspiration pneumonitis can occur if the abscess leaks. So in urgent care, it is vital that we identify Quincy early. And as with any abscess, the pus really needs to be aspirated, and this is done by the ear, nose and throat team. While it might be tempting to do this in a community urgent care clinic, if you have prior experience, I personally feel that this should take place in a hospital setting with airway specialists on hand, so it is my practice to always refer. And even if it's still quite early in the picture, with peritonsillar erythema but no swelling, I often still consult the ear, nose and throat team, not least to be able to put a referral in place should any deterioration occur, particularly when your clinic is closed. Now, one thing I always do, particularly in a nasty tonsillitis, is to advise patients of the symptoms of Quincy so that they know to come back nice and early for review. And I'll link in the show notes to a good summary paper from the American Family Physician from 2017 that is worth reading. And as this is such an important diagnosis to get right, I would encourage you all just to take a moment to have a look through. But why is it called a Quincy? Well, it seems that this is a gradual evolution of a word over time, and one which has always simply meant a sore throat. It starts with the Latin sinanci, which then became the French word esquinancy, which was then shortened to squinancy, and then eventually Quincy. So it's quite a boring answer in the end. So I'll continue to imagine Dr. Quincy, medical examiner, gesticulating wildly with his pointed finger as he preaches about the dangers of a peritonsillar abscess. Now, if you have any comments, questions, corrections, or suggestions, email podcast@rnzcuc.org.nz. We'll be back again next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you all then. But for now, thanks for listening.